Welcome back, and very special night tonight here on Coast to Coast. We have author James Redfield with us. And James, okay, here, I'm just going to go down the list here really quick. Of course, we have the Celestine Prophecy 93. We've got the 10th Insight. We've got Shambhala, the 11th Insight. We've got God and the Evolving Universe. And of course, the 12th Insight. Are we going to do a 13th, or is there just a completely fresh thing in the works?
No, I think that there's, you know, I think there's 12 insights that I wanted to convey. How we're moving into these insights, I think we're moving from just the insight of it, you know, hey, the world, maybe the world does work metaphysically. That's an insight. That's you get inspiration energy, but then you know your boss yells at you, and you can lose that energy, right? So, the current novel. It's an adventure story. It's the journey continues, but it's about implementation. You know, which is exactly what the millennials are involved in. You know, what's the value that we're going to incorporate into our culture? Is it the good karma of giving? You know. Is it all these other things? Yeah, it's all of them. So, you know, the new novel is about living out how it works when you put it together as a flow in your life. And remember, it's always coming back. You know, we all have emotions that rock us, you know, knock us off path. Fear, like in the situation that we're in today. But, you know, there's a meditative way. There's the best meditation. That I believe has been discovered, which uses a kind of essentially a love mantra, a heart opening that makes all the difference in the world. You can calm your mind, but then you get wrecked by an emotional eruption of some kind. You got to calm your emotions as well. You got to find your peace, and I think we know how to do that.
I'm going to get you to do your laughter right now. I've got to tell you this. That in the book, the energy between your fingertips, right, and seeing the energy, right?
Right.
Okay. So I would practice that, but that's not the funny. That's not the funny part of the story. I would walk into a restaurant or into an office, and you just kind of look around, and you would see somebody doing it, right? And I would go, "You read the book." Yes, and I'm watching them squint their eye, and I just enjoy that so much. How often do you bump into that these days? Do people still bring that up?
Sure, absolutely. You know, but millennials, you know, they're not to a place where they want to read auras, you know, or sense energy per se. But they want to calm, they want to get the power struggles out of our lives, out of their lives, and we all really want to do that. And because the books offer a way, what I believe is the only way, is the way that humanity has discovered to rid ourselves of power struggles once and for all. I think we know how to do that. So I think that's you know, the energy flow between people is something you just mainly feel, but it is what we want to move to is a way to keep our energy high and inspiring, connect with that higher source of inspiring energy in a way that doesn't take you having to battle with someone else over. You know, who's going to be the smartest one in the room, or with a loved one, you know, around, you know, who's going to dominate in the relationship. You know, those are old materialistic hangovers that I believe we're quickly moving past. And again, it's how we integrate this into our lives. You just change your reaction patterns.
There you go. We're going to take a quick break. Get ready. When we come back, it's your phone calls. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast AM. Stay with us. Welcome back, Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. Our guest is James Redfield, author of The Celestine Prophecy. And James, it's the full red carpet as we roll into phone calls. Are you ready?
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Let's go to it. Let's start at the top. Wild card, JT in Naptown, Indianapolis. JT, you're up next on Coast. Welcome.
How you doing again, Jimmy? Thanks for taking my call. By the way, I don't know if this is a synchronicity or coincidence, but I just bumped the dock at a major food warehouse with 42,000 pounds of Irish cream butter.
That's what I'm talking about, JT.
That works.
What have you got? What have you got for James tonight? And thank you for your service, JT.
No problem. Anyway, so I was just wondering if he thinks Gaia and the human spiritual religious aspect or whatever is merging right now. Is Gaia writing itself with this, you know, COVID virus or whatever? Is that part of this, or how does he feel about that, Mr. Redfield?
That's a great question, James. Is Gaia making adjustments?
Well, thank you, JT. That's a great question. You know, there's some things we don't know. I mean, you know, our own synchronicity may bring us the answers. I think we have to look at that. You know, just is it an overall reaction to the materialistic life style with all its pollution out there? You know, probably in terms of what I believe. But you know, that's how you give, though, is to try to give back to human life, to humanity, to our environment here. You know, it's you know, a lot of people out there kind of have this intuitive gift to convince people to, you know, change the lifestyle we live in a way that brings in more harmony with the earth, with our environment. And it's a good question, and I hope there's a lot of conversation now about just that.
Thank you, JT. Be safe out there, my friend.
All right. Thank you, Jimmy.
Thank you. And again, all of the truckers out there that are getting it done for this country in these very trying times, you're listening to us as you're driving. And from James and I to you, thank you. I really mean that. Let's go back to wild card. Let's go to Cornelius. Cornelius, is it you?
Yes, sir, Mr. Jimmy Church. I'm in church today. They done banned us from going to church, so I'm in church on Coast to Coast AM. And James too. Both of y'all have biblical names, essentially. My question for you, I'm a Christian and stuff, but I don't believe in religion. I believe in relationship with Jesus Christ. And I've been praying for all our people. We done had about three or four people fall down in Alexandria with the Kabor virus. But I believe in praying Psalm 91, the Lord's Prayer, and using the Proverbs each day, like today's the 22nd, so the 22nd Proverbs, and meditating on the Lord. So that's the way I'm working through all of this Kavora and stuff. But I'm glad both of y'all won't take the chip. George is the same way. George Norway won't take the chip because that will lead you to the mark of the beast. So I want you to think, what do you think? Will that be the mark of the beast? If they say, well, you got to take this chip, Mr. James or Mr. Jimmy, to get your food and stuff like that. So thank you, fellas. God bless you. And God bless America and the world.
Thank you, Cornelius. And James, that is such a great question.
It is. I
had read books back in the early 80s, way before ATMs and chips and things, that were talking about this very subject. And I didn't think these days would ever arrive. And I don't know if they are. But what do you make of that if we do go through a wave of chipping, if we have, you know, been vaccinated for this virus or not? Is that some type of self-fulfilling prophecy?
Well, you know, there's similar prophecies of that kind, you know, in various religions. And prophecies are prophecies, you know.
That's right.
Like one big intuition somebody wrote down.
Right.
And it's, you know, I think it's observable that, you know, they're, you know, the call it the dark side, the deep state, whatever you want to call it, but, you know, they're seeking more and more power over people. And they divide us, and some people are bad, and, you know, some people shouldn't be allowed to speak. And if you ever let government entities stop people from having free speech, then you're going right down the road that all these prophecies point to. So I think our challenge in something like this is to unify as much as we can in, say, stopping this pandemic. But if these guidelines turn into too much martial law and goes in a direction where, for instance, they say, well, you know, cash is dirty. You know, we don't need cash anymore. Your money will just be a little blip in our computers, and we'll save it for you, and we won't blackmail you with it. You know, it's just, you see that happening out there, and people who want to push all these things. And I think whether we're on the left or whether we're more on the right, there's a libertarian unity across all these spectrums, and that is, don't take away my creative freedoms, and I think it crosses over to refusing a vaccine, for instance. I mean, I think that's not, when you start going mandatory with any of these things, what happens is that it can become tyrannical, and I think we really should stand against that.
Let's go to David in Toronto, Canada, International. David, welcome to Coast to Coast.
Hi, Jimmy. Hi, James. Thank you very much for taking my call. First off, James, thank you so much for writing the books, because any insight you can give people onto how to raise their energy, vibration, and their consciousness is incredible. Wanted to say that I've been involved in such things for the last 35 years, from Reiki to Kabbalah to everything in between, to the point now where I've become ordained by the Canadian International Metaphysical Ministry, and I'm actually a practicing minister. What I found is that of all the books and everything that I've practiced, if I go back to the Seth books by Jane Roberts, that seems to be a rational basis for everything. But while I was just listening to you discuss this, I just also wanted to add that in the shift of the precession of the equinox, what has happened with feminine energy is it's changed from that of a princess to that of a queen, whereas 50 years ago it was, just like Gwen Stefani's song, "I'm Just a Girl," but now the women of the world are satisfied with who they are. They know what they want. They know what they want to do, which is why we're seeing the Time's Up movement and all the things that are going on right now. But more importantly, the Old Boys Network are doing everything they can to hold on to that power, which is why we're seeing the governments and the presidents and the premiers that we're having. But I'd just like to get your opinion on whether or not you think that they can hold on to that, or whether or not it's just like trying to hold a snowball from, let's say, January into August, where the energy is just going to shift it regardless.
Yeah, it's a great point and question. James, what do you think?
Well, it's, for me, the larger question around that issue is can we balance? You know, can we balance the masculine and the feminine? And that, you know, it shouldn't be about one taking over the other. That's not a balance. While I support emancipation across every group and every diversity on the planet, I think what we should strive for, and what's evolutionarily progressive, is to find the balance can the masculine and the feminine find a balance so that we have the best of those energies going forward, and it elevates the general energy on the planet.
How did we, if we go back 5,000 years, and David, I want to thank you for the call, and it was a great question. If we go back 5,000 years into ancient Egypt, certainly these balances were there and clearly defined, and both were respected equally. And then it just unraveled over time. Why did we forget those old principles, and how did the balance get out of whack?
Well, we had the military-industrial complex. You know, the materialism, you know, the fear creates reactions, and there was a burst of aggressive reaction, which is more male. And, you know, I just think that the world swings, but, you know, I see what happened beginning in the 50s and 60s, 1950s and 60s, in the world was a genuine, surge in balance. And I think if we just can keep that in our individual relationships where, you know, we acknowledge the feminine if we're men, and it's going to blend, and it's going to blend so that what comes out is not passive or aggressive, but courageous, and courageousness that's not domineering. And that, again, is, I think, what consciousness creates. I mean, if we go in and make contact with this, you know, this higher realm, and, you know, this intuitive intelligence within us, that's all balancing, and it's uplifting. And again, we've discovered the karmic code, right? And so if we're practicing giving, then there's never any feeling of weakness, because if we're givers, you know, that energy of giving comes into us and then flows out on another person. And that's the way we stay secure. That's the way we stay connected spiritually, by giving it away. And I think that's a big discovery out there that people can actualize. And I'm hoping the millennials will really set that value in society in general.
I've only got about 30 seconds before the break. That energy that you're referring to, energy, according to the laws of the universe and physics, never goes away. It lasts forever. So wouldn't this concept of giving and sharing these energies last forever and pass down through generations?
Yeah. You know, it's opening up to them. That's the secret, you know.
Right, right.
What happens is we break out of our ego coping devices and tune in spiritually, and we get filled with these energies. Our natural energy state is inspiration energy. Can't wait to get up in the morning to be creative.
We've got to take a break right here, James. Let's get that in. We'll come back with more of your phone calls. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast AM. Stay with us. All right, welcome back. There's a great Netflix documentary on ZZ Top you need to check out. Just go and find it on Netflix. It was just released. Absolutely incredible. Just got this tweet in from Bad Monkey. And Bad Monkey says, "Oh my God, I ran around doing that squinting for years." And I just got to say, that is a great tweet, and that got read. All right, if you enjoy what I do here on Coast to Coast, you need to check out my show. It is called Fade to Black. All you have to do is click on my name right there on the Coast website. It'll take you to my website. The show's called Fade to Black. We broadcast Monday through Thursday live from 7 to 10 p.m. Pacific time. My show ends. You go straight into Coast to Coast for 4 more hours with George Norrie. It's the only way to live your life. You can follow me on Twitter at JChurchRadio. Everything that you need, our guests, all the social media, all of our syndication is all there. Everything is free. Check it out, Fade to Black. And that's what we're going to do next is visit with James Redfield and take more of your phone calls. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This is Coast to Coast AM. Stay with us. Welcome back, Coast to Coast AM. I am your host, Jimmy Church. James, what a great show tonight. And I do want to thank you before we start to wrap things up for taking the time and sitting with us, the Coast audience. It was just a fantastic conversation. And I have got a lot of people that want to speak with you. Are you ready to keep this going?
Sure. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Let's go to Camel in Wyoming. Camel, you're up next on Coast.
Hello.
Hello, Camel. What have you got for James?
Oh, boy. I wasn't sure if I was still online. Good evening, gentlemen, Jimmy and James. I've been sitting here. I'm just going to say this. I know I was going to get through. I've been knowing this for a long time in my life since I read the prophecy and all the novels and practice and try to live it every single day. I knew I would somehow meet James. He is the guru of this world right now.
Yeah, thank you for that, Camel. And is that it? No questions?
I will let James answer me one question. I really don't know. I have many, many questions for him, but not really because the answers are right there for us. He's kind of answering my. I would say all through the novels, we went from the insight, you know, and the 12th insight and Shambhala. And Shambhala, very, very interesting novel, to say the least. I have so many questions about that novel alone. But because the synchronicities to me lately have just been flooding in with the events taking place in this world, with all the conspiracies, all the nightmares going on, and then you having James on tonight, and I'm getting through, it's like that even solidifies the answers of the synchronicities.
Thank you for the phone call, James, or for Camel. And James, that's got to make you feel pretty good.
Well, it really does, you know. And if I'm a guru, it's I'm really an anti-guru. You know, I'm about people proving things to themselves. You know, don't take my word for it. Get into the flow. Start to tune in. Start to be a giver. And what happens is that your questions will start to get answered and solutions will come more rapidly. It's something that, you know, if we could snap our fingers and suddenly people would integrate these insights to a point where, you know, they prove it to themselves. They get up in the morning, they ask themselves, what question do I have? What's messed up in my life? What solution do I need? And then they say a little intention, you know, prayer intention. You know, we're much more powerful than we think once we get on the light side. And as long as we're helping with our lives, as long as that's the motivation, what happens is that we get this constant flow of synchronicity and life changes. When, you know, when this becomes the dominant sort of consciousness in the world, which it will, that's when all of the problems in the world get solved. We get into a consciousness of each other, and that will be when we realize that you know, all of human evolution has been just a journey, a road to this consciousness worldwide.
Let's go to Wild Card Michael in Bellevue, Washington. Michael, welcome to Coast. What do you have for James Redfield?
Thank you for taking my call. Pleased to meet you, Mr. Redfield. I read your first book years ago when it came out, and I've studied esoteric knowledge and ageless wisdom. I kind of think I hear some of that coming when you speak. And my question is, what informs you on a daily basis, or who or what informs you to come to the decisions you make to manage yourself in life?
That's a great question, Michael. James, what are your sources? What do you tap into each day?
Well, I'll tell you how it all started for me when I was 14 years old. And my mother was a member of a very rural Methodist church that I grew up in. And everything was normal Christianity. But underneath all that, the way many of those people lived was a constant flow of giving, solutions, coping with difficult situations, with an air of holding the energy for others and being intuitively guided to help. It was just a kind of flow that I saw that, you know, I kept questioning. It wasn't automatically in the discussion. It was just a cultural thing. So, of course, what happened was that I just, drove everybody crazy asking questions about this. And they finally just sort of kicked me out of the church and off to college. But I, not literally kicked me out, but just shoved me in the direction of my pursuit. So, you know, I've been trying to push for myself. I've been trying to piece this together. And at a certain point, I realized, hey, these questions are questions that we all have. And that's what motivated the books. So I got started early on in that direction and just tried to eventually get it all out there as best I can.
There you go. And thank you for the phone call, Michael. Let's go to Dave in New York. Dave, wild card, you're up next.
Morning, James and Jimmy. Something about 1993, which was special to me, because that's when all my synchronicities started happening, and I would get up and speak or speak on a radio. And anything that I say, I can verify or have, shown. But my latest synchronicity, if you will, or vision, I guess it would be a better way to call it, is that 3 years ago I felt that there's a wall that came down, and it's only temporary. But including myself and everybody listening right now, everybody from the shoeshine boy to the king are going to be exposed to who they truly are. And, you know, as you see now, everybody's come out from under their rocks and they're out there, and you've seen what you really never thought you would see, but everybody's exposed themselves. But I also feel that wall is going to go back up again, and things will resume back to where they were.
Well, let's hope not, Dave, but I was speaking with James about this earlier. James, we are going through this paradigm shift. There's no question about it. It's every country on the planet. Can we keep the momentum going forward? Or, like Dave said, is the wall going to go back up and we're just going to go back to the way we were once we're comfortable again? Thank you for the phone call, Dave.
Yeah. Thanks, Dave. That's a great question, and that's the ultimate challenge, isn't it? You know, it's not enough to just open up to moments of synchronicity and giving. You know, that's not enough. You know, we have to, and these millennials are going to seek to do this, I think, but, you know, we've got to implement it into the culture, into the values of the culture. In order to keep it going, and I agree that people are exposing themselves, and that's what happens, I believe, when generally there's more meditation, more seeking, there's more consciousness, and when that happens, people who are very intense with their sort of ego motivations forget that they're revealing themselves. In other words, the people in fear are revealing their coping devices, and it's about control. And so if you look at politicians, they're acting as though they don't know how to cover up what they're really doing anymore. And it's a very interesting thing. In other words, I believe that's exactly what's happening. People used to know how to cover up what these secret motivations are and around money and control and all that. And what's happening is that now are just speaking it out loud as though everybody agrees that that's what should happen. And of course, people don't. They're alarmed at what comes out of a politician's mouth right now. So I think that it's all being revealed and it's all being healed by a rising consciousness. And I think, yes, there's a certain urgency to live this out loud and to communicate it to other people, because it, you know, the tuning in to you know, these spiritual experiences is what grounds us. We have the best life, but we also push humanity to, into this consciousness as we live it.
Let's go to Louise in Louisville. Louise, you're up next.
Thank you, Jimmy, for accepting my call. Your guest mentioned that he would like for a new name to be given to the Z generation, and my suggestion is that they be called the Omega generation. That's the last letter of the Greek alphabet, because we are at the end of one time and the beginning of another. And then I would like to make just a second brief comment about the females in the world. For thousands of years, they were considered as a part of the Trinity. But after the death of Cleopatra and the beginning of the creation of the Roman Catholic religion, not pointing fingers, but just making a point, Constantine took the mother out of the Trinity, and she became a Holy Ghost. And the females to this day are still trying to get the mother put back into the Trinity.
Yeah, very interesting. Well played and well done there, Louise. Let me go back, James, and comment about the Omega generation. I think she's actually spot on with that.
You know, I do too. I think that there'll be a Renaissance-creating generation. I mean, you can just see them. I mean, they already know what they're doing. If you take a look at these kids, you know, from, you know, ninth grade up, you know, you see more and more. I mean, they know what their mission is. They come in, it appears like they, you know, they have a certainty about what they want to get done. And, you know, there's a lot of research on that, because, and a lot of, economists are talking out loud about, hey, millennials, watch out. You know, there's an Omega generation person about to take your job, because they are very, very motivated to get out there and make changes in the world, and it'll be fun to see what they do.
I've got time for one more quick question. We're going to get that from Walt in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Alan, really quick, welcome to the program. What's your question for James?
It's Walt.
Oh, Walt. What did I say?
Alan.
Walt in Allentown. My bad. My bad. What's your question for James?
Well, with all due respect, I think that I've never read any of Mr. Redfield's books, but I own quite a few Redfield rifle scopes, so I don't know if that means anything.
Well, no relation.
Yeah, no relation. No relation.
Unfortunately.
Well, I just like to say that, you know, I think it's wrong to put up this wall between science and spirituality. You know, as you know, Mr. Church, I'm an avowed atheist, agnostic, and... you know, John Wayne was also. I mean, who's a greater example of American Americana than John Wayne? And if you saw the movie The Shootist, which was his last, and which I feel was his greatest film, you know, that was supposed to be autobiographical. And you know, the Lauren Bacall character tried to get him to go to church, and he said no, that his he got his spirituality from the mountains and whatnot, and that's more or less where I'm coming from.
So you're saying that science and spirituality are not mutually exclusive, but
absolutely.
Religion is, right?
Absolutely not. And science isn't as cut and dried. It's not formulas, and you know, there's a lot of wonder in science. George likes to talk about the Big Bang, and the singular. We don't know what, you know, you talk about things coming from nothing. Well, the question is there such a thing as nothing? In other words, is it possible to even conceive of nothing?
Well, Walt, you bring up a great point, and it's a great way to end the show. I want to thank you for the phone call, and be safe out there, okay? And I'm going to stay on this with you, James, for the last minute or so that we have. I do find it interesting where science, physicists, quantum mechanics, quantum theory, and string theory, and all of this looking forward, they can't figure out the miracle of transferring atoms and particles into a body and consciousness coming seemingly out of nowhere. They think it's a chemical reaction, right? That is something inevitable. And that's simply not the case, is it?
Well, you know, people don't live it out that way. You know, it's a scientist can make a judgment, but that's all it is. It's an opinion. They're not even close to explaining life processes, how it all began. You know, the Big Bang is a theory, and they've done a lot of research, and it's a fun theory. But you know, in essence, there is a part of life that's not a conclusion by the mental part of ourselves. It is about experiencing something higher. And again, that's about all we can do, is have experiences of this divinity in the world, this kind of higher consciousness, this connection that we feel in our heart. You know, that's something that is points to a greater mystery. If you can stay in the mystery, then everything else is revealed, I believe.
I want to thank you, James. Thank you. What an amazing conversation tonight, James Redfield. Thank you, James. And James's links are right there at coasttocoastam.com. I've got to thank Mike, Donna, Chris, Lex, Greg, Tim, George, Lisa, and my beautiful wife, Rita. I am your host, Jimmy Church. It's been another great weekend here on Coast to Coast AM. Go Beckley Tappy.